We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The McNeil and Parkin Show.
Let me ask you something. When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
Afternoons on the Score.
The Boating Show.
Come on down to the Boating Show.
It's Boating Show.
Boat Show. McNeil and Parkin's on the Score.
I like what they did there.
Yeah, Chris Daniel's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
The all-time great jingles. We look forward to it every February, don't we?
Yes, we
Come
do.
Come on down to the Boat Show.
The Boating Show.
There you have it.
There's a lot of suggestions for you if you want to get singing and writing, Matt.
Yeah, I'm happy to do the writing part of it. I'm not sure if my vocal cords will handle the studio assignment end of it.
Oh, I'll take care of that.
That's what I'm told from our former partner.
Yeah, don't worry about that. I'll step in and knock it out of the park. One take, too.
One take, Jake?
One take, Jake.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah, it's not a problem. I got range.
I want to get it done before September because that's you know, because we're probably going to be morphing into some Mitch songs and some Bears songs as well. And we need to have some songs that capture the spirit of the Cubs run toward the National League Central crown. You got a 3-game lead on the Brewers right now, probably feeling pretty comfortable with this 2-game mini ahead.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the series. It should be a charged atmosphere at Wrigley Field, but I mean...
Did you really just say that?
It was tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
I'll say this, though. That series against the Nationals felt like a playoff series.
It sure did. I early yesterday afternoon, I said to Sherry, she went to the game last night, my wife, and I said, doesn't this feel like a big game tonight? Scherzer against Hamels? I mean, it's not 15, it's not 0-8. But certainly Hamels in his first couple go-rounds with the Cubs was terrific and even better last night.
Yeah, he's clearly got the pedigree that he could have a strong enough finish with the Cubs where it's not beyond the realm of possibility that Cole Hamels is a game one starter for them. Like, I'll be shocked if that's how it ends up working out. That would have been 100-1 the day they traded for him. But given his pedigree, it's not completely impossible that he'd be the guy they'd give the ball to.
He may get it by default because the supposed ace was bad again Saturday afternoon. I hate to be the first guy to mention it, but it is a reality. John Lester is not going well.
I have no idea if you're the first guy to mention it or not. It's a fact. They played 3 games over the weekend. Friday, they came back against a guy who was pulled when he had a no-hitter. Friday's comeback was wildly exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, Lester got thumped and had to wear one, wanted to come out. Joe left him in. Like that was tough to watch for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday's one of the great regular season Cubs baseball games that I personally can remember.
Yeah, because you're starting to sniff the finish line a little bit here, and you certainly need to recover from your ace's bad go on Saturday, and that delivered on many levels last night. I was entertained enormously from start to finish. Max Scherzer was light. Davey Martinez, what are you doing? Let him finish the damn thing.
Yeah, he's what, 106, 108 pitches?
He was at 106, but he looked as strong in the seventh as he did in the first.
I know, and they're five.
And he was grunting more.
Man, those Scherzer grunts, he is a weirdo. But he's also a Hall of Famer if his career ended tomorrow.
Yes, he is.
The diversity of pitches, the way he attacks you. Jessica, you said it best at the start. He has maybe the best fastball, best slider, the best changeup in the game. That's why he's about to win.
Oh,
and Nolan Ryan grunt.
And she went like Monica Seles, Jake Peavy grunt there to strike out Javi Baez for a third time. Mad Max, Beyond Thunderdome,
Clinic.
It's funny, so many of us, we go to tennis players when we think grunts.
I go Serena.
You said Serena earlier today. Last night I was thinking Jimmy Connors, one of, you always remember your first grunter.
Sure, of
he's
course.
He's mine. Monica Seles getting a reference there.
I was not expecting Jake Peavy. I'll be honest. I was surprised that it went. Nolan Ryan, obviously known for it in baseball. Then
I remember Peavy's being his delivery so reckless and just. I don't remember him being a fabulous grunter, though, was he?
No. I mean,
was he still grunting when he was here?
Was he grunting from pain? If it was the delivery, like I have
from the joy of playing the game, maybe
I had no idea, but all of a sudden it just like fourth, fifth innings started grunting, you know, going up 94, 95, 96.
He brings it, and they did a good job of showing you, teaching me some pitching last night on his low arm angle and all that stuff. But A-Rod is just a colossal A wipe.
We're gonna just disagree on A-Rod. I don't love him, but when I watch, I'm like, this guy is so weird, and he just opines on everything.
Yeah.
And he's a superstar, and like that celebrity crossover thing that just brings something extra to that broadcast. I'm not saying good or bad, but it's just something extra that if you want Sunday Night Baseball to be your national broadcast, which is like stars promoting stars because baseball needs it. A-Rod dating J-Lo in the Sunday night booth.
She wants some more salsa.
Being weird. Like, I can't say that's a bad job for ESPN if that's what they want out of their broadcast.
I'll give you that. Yeah, you're not going to do it. You're not going to get anybody bigger in terms of star.
Right? You're not going to get anyone bigger.
Anybody who's willing to do it and be that big of a star, probably. I can't think of anybody.
No, that doesn't mean there aren't legit.
Jeter's not that gregarious. I don't see him.
He's running a team.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so I mean, that'd be tough to do.
Really enjoying this.
Like, he's just, at this point, I could see him becoming a bit. Like, and he doesn't know it, but like everybody, like he thinks everyone's laughing with him, and then we're laughing at him, and it somewhere becomes like meta and entertaining. Yeah.
They gave him an opportunity last evening to talk about how Joe Maddon was unhappy with his broadcast from a couple weeks ago. They were in St. Louis that Sunday night when he had his report on Yu Darvish and how Darvish is making the Cubs clubhouse an uncomfortable place to be. He had an opportunity to tell. I don't know what the hell he said. We're going to listen to it again in a little bit, but he didn't really address his conversation with Joe Maddon.
We've got it here for you, what he said during the broadcast from ESPN.
I thought we had a very positive, constructive conversation in Joe's office. Look, it's my job to call it as I see it, to be fair, to be objective. And we all love the game. We all want to talk, you know, in great how we see the best part of the game, right, and the passion of it. And I think Joe's very passionate. I'm very passionate. I've known Joe almost 25 years when he was with the Angels.
I don't care.
And here's the bottom line for Joe Maddon and the Cubs. I've always had a great deal of respect for them, but they need to get Yu Darvish healthy. I remember playing for George Steinbrenner, and one of George's biggest pet peeves was if somebody got injured, he would send us to Tampa, and it was our way to. We had to earn our way back to the Big Apple and play in New York. And I loved it. I agreed with it. I wanted to get back to New York. And Yu Darvish is one of the greatest talents in the world. And the Cubs need him. That's why they gave him a big contract. And he's had good side actions from what we heard from Joe. And it's really important for him and the Cubs to get where he belongs on that mound so they can have their goal, which is winning a world championship.
You soiled the sanctity of my home.
The sanctity of the clubhouse.
Yeah.
Congratulations posthumously to George Steinbrenner for making those Yankees earn their way back to the big club by going down to the spring training facility in Tampa to rehab.
I just felt so unsatisfied by the whole thing because, A, it was a dumb controversy to begin with, but I don't care what the Yankees' policy was. Like, that was a weird part to double down.
Well, and he didn't even delineate that that's the biggest difference between the two, nor did he allude to any of the specifics of the conversation he had with Madden in his office.
Nor did he with the reporters. The beat writers apparently got A-Rod for 52 seconds in the media room. He took two questions, and then he ended it. And there were reports that he had a bodyguard with him in the press box. He's such a big celebrity. He's walking around.
I think he probably has to. Unless he just wants to spend his whole life saying no to people.
Oh, I'm with you. I understand. I'm just saying, like, in terms of people being able to get more out of the story.
I mean, you don't want Grobber tugging on you if you're A-Rod, do you?
No, of course. You want to be able to just go and get some ice cream from that little media room and then go right back to your national booth, maybe some salsa on the side, whatever it might be. But I thought, like, okay, the Yankees said you've got to earn your way back. The Cubs literally built their new locker room and clubhouse with the attachment to the trainer room so that rehabbing players from the major league roster could stay with the team and around the team as a form of motivation so they could be staying connected to their teammates. Exhibit A, Kyle Schwarber in 2016.
Right.
So
that always made sense to me.
Of course it makes sense. But so to me, like, that was not the part of the original A-Rod criticism that was interesting. Like, that was the part that we immediately dismissed as just being, oh, well,
he's just talking.
He's uninformed. Like, he's uninformed about how the Cubs do things. And then he mentions the Yankee thing. Okay, fine. Reasonable minds can disagree on how you should treat a rehabbing player. The interesting part of the initial A-Rod criticism was whether or not he was opining based on how he would feel if he was in the Cubs clubhouse.
That's where there was a disconnection, indeed.
Or if he is, but he said it's really bad inside that clubhouse right now. Mm-hmm. If you remember the initial report, it was it's really bad inside there right now. He acted as if he was reporting based
That's
on
correct.
Speaking to players about how they felt towards Yu Darvish. So for him to get up there on the broadcast last night and, like, I'm going to address it. No, you weren't addressing the issue. You were speaking about someone else's clubhouse without knowing, or if you did know,
yeah,
double down and tell us that it's bad inside the clubhouse towards Yu Darvish.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been that hard to tell a reasonable story and not violate a confidence of the Cubs manager if he's going to sit you down and you're going to have a little conversation. I'm sure it was amiable. I just they're adults.
Yeah, of course.
Tell us the story. Take us in Joe Madden's office and tell us what was said.
I'm with you. And I also, here's the thing. I respect A-Rod for standing up for his own opinion, even if I disagree with it and think he went too far on some sort of anecdote. Like, that's fine. He did his job, clearly, for ESPN. Sunday Night Baseball has no buzz. Baseball nationally has no buzz. He did a Cubs game. He opined on something. Theo
by Epstein, sensationalizing his story.
Well, yeah.
Would you agree he did yellow journalism?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that term still around?
I don't think that term.
Probably not.
No, I don't.
The hell you say?
I'm not saying, like, that passes the outside the lines, you know what I mean, three source to get it into the newspaper. I mean, that's not what I'm saying at all. But in terms of the man is paid to give his opinions on baseball on television. He gave an opinion about baseball on television that had Joe Madden responding, the players responding, Theo Epstein responding. That was a 48-hour news cycle story.
We milked it, well, maybe even longer than that. It lived for several days. And I'm grateful for the content.
Right. Well, so I kind of respect the guy not apologizing and not backing down on his opinion. I just thought last night, he wasn't addressing the thing that made Joe and Theo and everyone around the Cubs upset.
Didn't go anywhere near the story.
Yeah, that's what bothered me about last night.
It bothered me a lot. But A-Rod's a goof.
Yes.
I'd like him to be, if you're going to be a goof, if you're going to wear the lampshade, go full throttle. Don't dial back on it. Go full tilt boogie on it if you're going to be a goof.
Texter says, are you not going to bring up the Athletic report of what happened with Joe and A-Rod?
I didn't see it. What happened in the Athletic?
No, the Athletic report was from Patrick Mooney, I think, and it said sources that, you know, things, there were tensions and, you know, feelings escalated in the conversation, but there weren't too many specifics in there. It was anonymous. It quoted multiple sources. And Joe disputed it after the fact. But Mac's point, which I agree with, is A-Rod's the guy who started the controversy. A-Rod had the microphone last night. And A-Rod didn't say anything with any sort of specifics about what he and Joe talked about.
No. And I don't know if they spend any time with him coaching him. That's is he above that?
I don't think
anyone else in Bristol has been given that license to be above it when they start. They're given coaches and they are asked to listen to them.
I agree with you. I don't think that ESPN thinks that he did a bad job in this. I think that's the difference.
How could they not?
He created buzz where there normally isn't.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if you, again, I don't know. Maybe they just did look at the rating and say, hey, we had a really big show last night. I assume it did well nationally. Would it not?
Well, it never does that well nationally, these national baseball games.
That had to do okay, though, with a great pitching matchup like that, with one team for sure in the playoffs and one team knocking at the door.
I would think, based on the standards of their games, I agree with you. I would think that last night did pretty well. I know recently they just had one of their highest broadcasts for a Yankees-Red Sox game. That might have been last weekend or the weekend before. I don't know. But people are complaining on the text line, you know, it's just a talk show.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that broadcast is. It is a talk show during a baseball game.
Baseball, more than other sports, sets itself up for talk show opportunities. There's so much space between pitches. There's only so much you can say about spin rate and launch angle and where the defense is positioned.
No question. And also, when the complaint around baseball is that the game doesn't promote its stars, and then you watch Sunday Night Baseball, and all they're doing is talking about Javi Baez or Chris Bryant or Matt Carpenter when it was Cubs Cardinals or Bryce Harper or Max Scherzer. Like, that broadcast focuses on stars. Like, they try to be mass appeal baseball. It's just that nobody watches.
You mentioned Bryce Harper. It occurred to me on my commute today. Where were you this series? The performance artist who graced the cell earlier this baseball season with Sheppy and a sign welcoming Manny Machado to join the Northside organization. Where were you this weekend? You don't want him anymore?
Oh, no, I want him. I want him.
He's not badly enough to make a sign, apparently.
Oh, I had a bigger idea than a sign. Shep and I had a bigger idea than a sign. It was going to make the baseball establishment media lose its collective mind and pearl clutch, and it would have been hilarious.
Do share.
Well, I kind of want to keep the idea.
No, don't share.
Don't share. Don't share, right?
Save it for another time and another soul.
Yeah, there's going to be an opportunity.
Wow, this sounds really juicy.
There's an opportunity to use this stunt one time.
Okay.
And so I got to keep it in the back pocket for what.
I understand.
Yeah. It did. Hayward is playing well. Almora, Happ, Zobrist, Schwarber. It's been a little bit more split. Harper is still there. It didn't feel like the conversation was really about the Cubs' recruitment of Bryce Harper.
It hasn't felt that way for some time. The issues are all about the pitching staff, pretty much.
Exactly.
And Bryant's health.
Exactly. So it just, when the Machado thing was a perfect storm of the John Heyman reports, the Cubs having all the money in the world, Addison Russell playing poorly, and then he was playing the Sox the next week. So, like, that was just so easy. This one, it just didn't feel right to us. So, Shep and I kept that one in our back pocket. But don't you worry, my friend.
Okay, all right.
I got more performance art to come.
I look forward to learning. The two of you collaborating on something like that, that is very exciting. Shep is absolutely, you'll not share that with him. I love the way he's coming on strong at you.
Executive producer over
Mr.
there.
Protective.
Being an
put
executive.
Put the foot down on that.
Yeah.
It gets out of the bag one time and one time only.
Okay.
That's right. Let's go to Hinsdale and welcome Denise to the score. How's it going, Denise?
I want Chicago to take the drug-using, Yankee-suspended, think-you-can-dance, girlfriend lifestyle A-Rod and not invite him back to Wrigley. Honest to God, he insults us every time he covers a game on ESPN. He's sitting in the booth like he's the king of sports announcers. I felt sorry for the woman sitting next to her who actually got in a few good commentaries if we took a breath. I'm really tired, and I'm glad Madden is defending his team. God bless him. What he said about Darvish was wrong, and he's trying to create controversy for a team that pretty much gets along pretty darn well.
Seems like it, doesn't it, Denise? Thank you for checking
what's
in.
What's the beef, though, with J-Lo? Let's leave J-Lo out of our A-Rod criticism,
yeah.
Denise. Okay, she's gone. Sorry. I mean, come on. J-Lo's, I mean, that's the thing that you want around.
Keep
as many
your ass out of our ballpark. I love it.
As if A-Rod gets invited.
First meatball caller of the week is a woman named Denise. I like it.
Is it weird to you guys, though, that A-Rod seemingly shows up everywhere with her?
With J-Lo?
Yes.
No?
Just like that they travel that much. Like, you, I don't know. I just don't know.
They're rich, good-looking, and in love. They want to spend some time.
I don't pay a lot of attention to it. So it's easy for me not to think about
and
it.
Does it make you question J-Lo at all, that why she's so into Alex Rodriguez? I know he's worth $500 million.
Well, she's got no problem on that end.
Sure, but like, wow, you're really drawn to that guy?
Oh, well, I know, was it?
Salsa.
I'm with you. Was it the Vanity Fair cover story that they did where we learned the tales of A-Rod's recruitment of J-Lo, if you will, his pursuit?
Recruitment.
He went to the bathroom and he texted her from the stall and said, "You look so pretty, smiley face."
That's very romantic.
That is the cheesiest, most cornball pickup line ever. I cannot believe that worked, but he was too embarrassed to say it in front of her, so he said it from the stall.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot your shot, A-Rod.
She wants some more salsa.
Coach Fitz and the Cats return to Ryan Field after a 10-win campaign last year. Don't miss out on matchups with Michigan, Notre Dame, and more. Season and single-game tickets on sale now at NUSports.com. Albert Almora was on second base for David Bodie's Grand Slam. He joins us in 20 minutes on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And then Sunday Night Baseball a week from tonight.
Yes.
Jess, Alex, Buster, and I will be in Williamsport, Pennsylvania for the Little League Classic.
Yeah.
I can't wait. All the Little Leaguers come to the ballpark. The Big Leaguers go see the Little Leaguers that morning. It's like the best.
Sleepy little town.
Mets and Phillies a
week
from
tonight. Have you been to Williamsport?
I can't wait. No, I haven't.
Oh, A-Rod to Williamsport. It'll never be the same.
Cannot wait.
That means J-Lo's going to Williamsport?
I have no idea, but he is such a weirdo. That audio is brought to you by Jewel. Shop Jewel and save on USDA Choice T-Bone Steaks. Any size package, just $5.99 a pound. Limit 5 steaks. Get red seedless grapes for only 99 cents a pound and save on 16-ounce Lucerne butter or gallons of Jewel milk at $1.99 each with a limit of 2. Important correction, Mac.
What's that?
A-Rod texted, "You look sexy AF" from the bathroom stall, not "you look pretty." I apologize for getting that wrong.
Okay. Yeah. Was there a smiley face at the end of that?
I think I might have added that part, but I don't know. The texters are
"you look sexy AF" smiley face.
Yeah, that's A-Rod's pursuit of J-Lo.
He's a charmer.
Rich, good-looking, famous. Just a different set of ball game they play by. If I texted J-Lo from the bathroom stall at our first meeting for drinks, "You look sexy AF," she's not coming over after that drink.
Well, I don't know.
Come on.
You never know. She might have had an attraction to Ebb from Green Acres.
Yeah, I know. I'm everybody's type, Barney Rubble.
Okay, Fred.
A-Rod. That guy.
That's exactly my cartoon doppelganger, Barney Rubble from the Flintstones. Exactly. Has been since I was 17.
Well, it's the body type.
It's good, yeah.
Yeah, they're
stout and powerful.
Stout and powerful.
And very blonde.
1 week for you, by the way, before you're going to get more tan, I assume, when you go away to Cottage. A little orange and redder,
yeah.
Blonder.
I haven't thought about that in at least 10 minutes.
Oh, sorry for bringing it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Finish line coming for you.
Off to Cottage Friday night after the show. Very excited about that.
Good
Looking
for
forward to it. My annual trip up to, well, sometimes I'm lucky enough to go up a few times a year, but I'll be in Northwest Ontario on Saturday.
Sleepy little town.
Exactly. It is a sleepy little town on the banks of Vermilion Bay. I'll be throwing bucktails in top waters and no longer have to dream of those muskies on my pillow. I'll actually be with them.
A-Rod would fit right in.
Yeah.
Let's bring Lou into the conversation on the score. What's up, Lou?
Hey, Lou.
Lou. Lou.
Lou's not there.
Put Lou on hold.
All right.
We check Lou before we came out here. We check him once in a while.
Well,
I give him a little check. See,
I don't know. I don't think he's there. Fine. Lou doesn't get his shot anymore. That's too bad. Sorry, Lou.
We weren't blueing. We were booing.
That's right. You mentioned Lester, by the way.
Yeah. Who can't get out of the fifth consistently.
What do we do? Because like Sports Talk Radio is the everyday analysis of it, right? We're on every day. We know that that's not how baseball is viewed, but we think about playoff rosters and how you would set up your bullpen and how you'd set up your rotation. Like, every start can't be a referendum on whether or not a guy is going to get the ball in a playoff series when they have large bodies of work.
That's right.
But, having said that.
But he's sliding down the depth chart is what you're saying.
Exactly.
It's too early.
Well, so I'm with you. It's too early because it won't take much from Lester to pitch his way back into confidence,
right,
given the track record.
Right.
But how you're pitching leading up to the playoffs absolutely carries more weight than what you did in the 2007 playoffs or the 2011 playoffs.
Yeah.
So it's not irrelevant. It's just a balancing act that, like, let's say they started 4 days from now. Like, let's say that yesterday was the last game of the regular season and the division series starts, you know, in 4 days. Remove the equation of rest and all that. Like,
okay, because right now it's Hamels.
Right, you have everybody available. let's just say.
That sounds so absurd.
That's what I'm saying. Like, let's say it started next week. Everyone was available. You have rest. And you got to just go based on how they're pitching right now. Hamels, Hendricks?
Probably Hendricks. I still think Hendricks would get the nod ahead of Hamels.
Just larger body of work?
Yeah, Hamels has only made 3 starts in a Cubs uniform, right?
Yep. 3 very good starts in a Cubs uniform.
Yeah. Maybe you give him the ball first. I don't think so, though.
Is that too reactionary?
I think I do. I think the manager would regard it as too reactionary. I think he would be more willing to honor somebody who has tenure here.
Yeah, but shouldn't have anything to do with it. This is an opening day. Like, you want to give Lester the ball on opening day because if it's an honor, fine. Honor should have very little to do with it.
Yeah.
To me, it's how you're pitching right now. And I do playoff experience is fine. That's why they traded for Cole freaking Hamels. This guy's got a World Series. This guy's got 16 playoff appearances.
Whenever a starting rotation is hitting the skids around this time of the year, I always like to remind people, and I'll do that for you and fellow Cubs fans like you right now, 0-5 on the Southside Ball Club. There was only one pitcher in the first couple weeks of September that White Sox fans trusted, and that was Jose Contreras. Nobody else was worthy of. John Garland wasn't going well. Mark Burley wasn't going well. El Duque was wobbly. But once they got to the last week of September, they got it together. So it can happen.
It can
happen where they can catch fire when they need to the most.
No question. It can happen quick. Like, you give Lester the ball in October, I'm going to talk myself into feeling good about it. But all these texters saying, you know, they're laughing their asses off. Of course you give the ball to Lester. Okay. His last, 7 starts now? You got to go back to June. He was incredible in June, awful in July,
yes,
and both of his starts in August have been bad.
Yes, that's correct.
You're talking 7 consecutive
starts.
7
bad ones in a row.
I'm not handing the ball to him over other options in a 5-game series. If it was tomorrow, I'm absolutely able. Like, I can.
Cold weather doesn't make a difference to you?
No, I mean, it.
Wind blowing in?
Yeah, of course. All of that helps. Playoff experience, I mean. He still gets the ball at some point because of the pedigree, but you've got to factor in the recency part of it somewhat.
Yes.
If you have other good options, like if Hendricks and Hamels are awesome in August and September and Lester continues to be bad, I don't know how you could take a 2 or 3 month sample of bad against a 2 or 3 month sample of good and say what he did in 2016 carries the weight there.
I agree. That's ancient history as far as you're concerned.
For a division series this year, I'm not saying he's not on the roster. I'm not saying you never give him a start and you have some level of confidence when he goes out there. But
that's nice. You got a roster spot for John Lester in October.
Well,
you know what? We should let Lester know that. Danny Parkins has a spot for the playoff roster for him. Call John Lester.
I'm just saying.
Let him know.
Cole Hamels yesterday was in a pitcher's duel with Max Scherzer.
I know. It was fun to watch, okay? Wasn't like, it?
Cole Hamels was fantastic.
Couple of grizzled veterans dueling out there and grunting away.
His mistakes just happened right next to each other early with the walk and the hit. So, I mean, the guy was awesome. He was matching Scherzer frame for frame. Yeah. It felt like a playoff game to me. It felt like a pitcher's duel October playoff game.
It was about as entertaining as regular season baseball gets.
I agree. And most people would say you need offense. But if you've got name starting pitchers out there like that, I was totally in on the pitcher's duel.
You don't need offense. You need a couple of guys to get grazed on the jersey and David Bodie to hit a ball 440 feet. That's the only offense you need.
That was some exciting damn offense. It. That was some pretty exciting offense. I got some football for you later on today. I actually think that we learned something from the last preseason game, and we haven't had a real show since. I'm very surprised by that, but I want to get to that. We got Len Casper, Bart Winkler, Mark Grody, but coming up, Albert Almora is on second base for David Bodie's Grand Slam. We'll talk about the weekend series with the Nationals and look ahead to the Brewers with Albert Almora next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.